Welcome back to the OU Daily to Hillman Physics phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Friday, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Bereishis, the 28th day of the month of Tishrei. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors for their continued support, whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. And please note that the deadline to submit a sponsorship for Sunday's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my distinct honor to introduce Rabbi Asher Bush, Mora D'Astra of Congregation Abbat Yisrael in Leslie Hills, New York, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Bush slowly reciting our daily three chapters of Tehillim, Tarech Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 23, 121, and 130, and it will be followed by the Mishnah Berach L'Cholim and the Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Bush to learn more about his wonderful community in Wesley Hills. Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Bush.
I thank you very much. As we begin the book of Bereishis, we read the account of creation, which is perhaps the most well-known but least understood chapter in the entire Torah. And it's not just a problem for us moderns, but this throughout the ages avoided, evaded explanation. Ready in the fourth pasuk, Rashi writes, "Aspaze anutrihim ledivrei agada." We're forced to use agada to explain the text because we don't really have the straightforward answer. How literal, how complete or incomplete, how strictly chronological this account is, these have been matters of discussions amongst our mafarshim, our classical commentators throughout the ages. But it's only in the 19th century that this account became a source of genuine religious confusion and conflict. But what's not realized, and this is what I want to speak about right now, is this is not a Jewish problem. It's been a problem for other religions. They don't have Torah Shabbat there. They don't have Masorah. They don't have an oral tradition. They don't have the idea of interpreting and understanding. One of the most exciting rabbinic figures of the 19th century, me almost a hero, is Rav Yisrael Lipschitz. Best known as the author of the Tiferes Yisrael commentary on the Mishnah, Yachin and Boaz, Rabban Danzig, and appended to his commentary in the Mishnah are a few essays, and one particular one, the Drush for Hashayim, deals with a few matters of faith, but he includes there discussion of the age of the universe and religious understanding about fields such as geology and paleontology. And he's living in the age when they're discovering all sorts of things, and instead of ducking the cover, as if the Torah was somehow under his assault, he expressed great joy, because now we can begin to understand statements the rabbis, ancient rabbis, had made that we never quite could get. And he includes, for example, the statement that God created and destroyed the world seven times. Lipschitz looked at the various geologic layers and the strata, and he says, wow, that's evidence of those bygone worlds. I mean, they found frozen woolly mammoths in Siberia or dinosaur fossils in the Alps, or he mentions in Baltimore. So these are the proofs that's it. Those are those bygone worlds that the rabbis wrote about. And he took the rabbinic statement that almost 1,000 generations had preceded Adam, and he says, wow, that might explain a lot of stuff. And based on the teachings of early Kabbalists, he addressed possible questions of the age of the universe. I mention his name in particular, but he's only one of many great Talmid HaChamim, and there are others. We have great scientists, Orthodox scientists, Professor Nathan Aviezer, Daryl Schroeder, and one rabbi of the previous generation who tried. He combined them both, the scientist and a rabbi, Rabbi Arya Kaplan. And these men, and others as well, have written extensively how the Torah and the best of modern science are not in conflict. And one of the most important things I learned in the time I spent together with Professor Aviezer is that we can perhaps even understand portions of the Torah better today because we have science, we have physics, we have astronomy. And the most striking example that I'd like to share right now is that until the mid-20th century, it was thought by everybody who didn't believe in the Bible that the universe was eternal. It had always been here. No such thing as creation, and you must be a fool if you think otherwise. But the theory that became known as Big Bang, which is pretty much accepted in the world of science, whatever form, says, no, it was a science. finite moment before which there was no universe, and then there was one. And they don't answer all the questions. And this doesn't mean that every scientist is a believer. Some are, some are not. But what it does mean is that being a believer, not in partial aspirations, is not in conflict with the world of science and the knowledge that it brings. And for us, this is critical because there's nothing to avoid, fret over, to feel the need to pick between competing truths or maybe create a fantasy explanation that does no justice to Torah or to science. The study of science is the pursuit of truth, and we don't have any trouble dealing with truth from the world of science. Our sages told us an amazingly important idea, that Torah, that's our domain. But wisdom can be found throughout the world. And this last point, I'm going to digress for a moment, is not just a comfortable way to understand the Torah, but I think it's laid at the heart of the massive desecration of God's name that's taking place with this inexplicable actions and reactions we see in portions of the Orthodox world regarding Corona. How can this ignorance, how can this behavior, how can this fighting good judgment? I sadly think that for some people, the battles of the 19th century, the non-Jewish battles, have made their way into Jewish circles, that they feel the need to refute or ignore science is necessary for one's faith. The great sages like of Lipschitz, who died in 1860, told us, no, we don't need to duck for cover. Not in the 19th century, not the 20th, and certainly not the 21st. Moshe Emes v'Sarasa, as Moshe is true, this Torah is true. It stands on its own merit. It's not going to be blown over by science, medicine, or knowledge. We see a great Torah sage, we recite a bracha. The Chalak Mechas Masod V'Re'ot, that God has shared his wisdom with those who fear him. But we see a great scholar of science, he also said a bracha. Nasa Mechas Masod L'Basa V'Adam, God has given his wisdom to man, to mankind. This is God's wisdom as well, worthy of acknowledging, blessing, and learning from. Not always easy for us to live in two worlds. Each of these perceived conflict not only has a resolution, but what I really think the main point we should walk away with is that it gives us a better understanding of the Torah text and perhaps even a deeper faith in God, the giver of the Torah. At this point, we'll recite three chapters of Tehillim, and we're going to start with the first of the three, Chaf Gimel, which is number 23. Mizmor le David, Adonai roi lo esar, binos desha yarbi teni, amei menucho sinahaleni, nafshi yeshove, and cheni b'magle tzedek l'man shemo, gam ki elas begeit talmoves, so ira ra, bi ato imadi, divtecha umishantecha, ema yenachamuni, aroch lepanai, so panegib so rarai, deshanta b'shem en roshi, kosi revaya, The next one we'll recite is Kuf Chaf Aleph 121. Yulamalos, Esau Enai El Hehorim Me Ayin Yavo Ezri. Ezri Me Im Adonoi Ose Shomayim Vore. Al Yitain Lamot Vaglecha, Al Yanum Shomrecha. Ine Lo Yanum Velo Yitan Shomer Yisrael. Adonoi Shomrecha, Adonoi Tilcha Yad Yiminecha. Yomam Hashemesh Bo Yakecha Vyareach Balayla. Adonoi Yishmorcha Mechol Ra, Yishmor Es Nafshecha. Adonai Yishmor Teso, Uvo Echo, Me Ato, Re Ad Olam. Now go to Kuf Lamed 130. Yohamalos, Mimama Kim, Kurasicha Adonai. Adonai Shema Vekoli, Vienna Osnecho, Tashubos, Vekol Tacho Nunai. Im Avonos, Yishmor Yah, Adonai Mi Amod. Im Cha Haslicha, Laman Tivare. Visi Adonoi kisko nafshi olid varo hocholti. Nafshi l'Adonoi mishomrim laboker, shomrim laboker. Nachel Yisrael el Adonoi kim Adonoi hachesed v'harbe imo kedus. V'hu yivde es Yisrael Mikol Avonosov. Now recite the Bishavera for the Cholim. A pause in the middle. People should insert names, those they know we're davening for, and even if we don't have specific people, we know that the needs are so great. Bishavera Avosenu Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov Moshe Aharon David Shlomo Hu Yevores Yerapeh Es Acholim. Achenu kol beis Yisrael, hanesunim b'tzoro uveshivyo, omnim bein bayom uvein bayavosho, hamakom yirachem aleihem v'yotziyem b'tzoro l'rivofo, umeachelu li'oro mishibud l'geula hashta bagalo uvizman koriz v'nomar omein.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Bush. As we transition into the next segment of our call, to get us started, how are you, your family, and the community overall doing?
Thank God we are doing well. You know, it's a crazy time. It's a stressful time for all. And I think it's been a time when the shul, you know, we opened up at the very beginning when the governor said we could, and the shul, when we were closed, and even since we're open, we have really served not usual functions, but way above and beyond. I must tell you, we have, I mean, some people aren't coming to shul because they're not comfortable, but there are a number of others in the community who are specifically coming to our shul because they're looking for a safe place. And we we're making a lot of effort, you know, whether it's masks and social distancing, when we have bigger situations like Yom Kippur, we had a tent in the parking lot in addition to the use of the shul, and people appreciate it.
Unbelievable. So if you could share with our listeners, who may not be familiar with Wesley Hills, hard to imagine a Jew not familiar with the broader Jewish Muncie community, but if you could give us some background, some overview of the shul and the community in general.
Right. So our shul has been around about 25 years, maybe a little more. We are the original shul in the area. There are since then a few others. It's a diverse community in terms of the Orthodox spectrum. It's at this point, the neighborhood is overwhelmingly Orthodox. There certainly are other people, very nice people, Jewish and non-Jewish. And it's a community where tremendous opportunity. It's a beautiful place, full of nature, trees, all sorts of animals, sometimes a few more than we'd like, and it's a very nice place, and good people.
Have you been able to count any of the local bears as part of a minyan recently?
We had a bear who came for a picnic, a barbecue recently, but fortunately he understood the meaning of social distancing. He stayed quite distant. Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I grew up in Muncie, so it's something to see. I mean, we were used to the deer in the backyard, and we were used to maybe more recently the peacocks and the turkeys, but the bears have taken it to a whole nother level and to another degree. So we certainly hope that everyone is safe and well. Last question for you, and it's one that we've asked the rabbis and the rabbis who've had on these calls now for several months. The world's changed. Without a question, and it will continue to. And with change, there's opportunity and there's innovation. And, you know, we live in a world of Zoom. And with the internet, there's so many opportunities that even when the schools were closed in the early get-go of COVID, that we were able to go online and to learn together. And as you shared just a moment ago, that you know, now we're operating with social distancing and with masks, and that there are even those in your community or perhaps the broader community who came to your shul because they knew that it was a place where they could feel comfortable. And obviously our shuls are not full yet, from the young to the old. There are many who have not been able to return yet. But when we think about change now during COVID, and if we can even dream trying to look to the future as much as we can, perhaps a lesson of COVID-19 is that you know, things are uncertain and we don't really know the future. What changes do you anticipate for your shul and for the community and the Jewish community overall?
Well, I hope not just in times of crisis like this, but I hope we'll be much more conscious of matters of public health. It was in the very beginning when nobody even knew what was happening. We were all coming to shul still without any hesitation. I quoted Rav Henkin, just one of the Bracha, who had spoken about keeping the Torah may not be such a great thing. We love to do it, and it shows where our hearts are, but that's a public thing. So maybe that level of consciousness of health and safety, one thing. On the more positive side, like Gemara Shir, for example, we now have people who don't even live in the neighborhood. I mean, they used to, and now they say, oh, good, I can come to the Shir. Because we have it on Zoom. So in that sense, the opportunities are, there are some opportunities that didn't exist that do exist. And I think challenge for many is people have not been in shul in many cases, or people are davening in private minyanim in yards. And returning to a more structured shul situation for some will not be easy. The shul is more structured. It's less, you know, you got to dress a little differently perhaps, and you can't just bring your coffee around as you come to shul and make it more of a social event. And in some cases that will be a challenge, but I think people at the same time, one of the most beautiful things I've noticed, oh, they're so anxious. You know, unfortunately, we have not been able to have a full contingent of women in shul. Our shul just isn't that big. So we've had a smaller number. And over the Chagim, and we paid extra money to make sure the tent was stayed through the end of Simchas Torah. We had, anybody who wanted to come was able to come. And it was appreciated very much. And maybe the most important thing is seeing what we're missing. Because we're missing a lot. And whether it's the ability to be with family members and friends whom we can't be with, or to be in shul on the normal, or to embrace each other, or to come close to the Torah. I mean, we have a partition when you get an aliyah. And the fact that we're missing things and realize what we're missing, whereas I mentioned many of the women who have not been able to come to shul regularly, they were so thrilled they could come on each of the chagim and participate in the normal way. That this is a big thing. People should, I missed it, I want it. And hopefully that feeling of I missed it, I want it, will truly be something that when we do get back, not willing soon enough, we'll say, yeah, this is what I wanted, and let's make it as good as we can. Let's make it the best we can. Hopefully that will be where we'll go.
I mean, beautiful, and we truly hope so, and that it won't just be a flash in the pan, but it'll be something with real continuity that will go for a very, very, very long time. Eli Bush, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a picture of your wonderful community, as they are with all the Klal Yisrael and of the entire world. Our thoughts and our tefillot, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and a refuah for all of those in need will be answered with tova for good. And may the Rabboni Shel Olam, the Master of the World, speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again on Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for our next regularly scheduled program. This concludes today's call. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic. Wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, meaningful, restful, wonderful Safe Shabbos.